Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. I'm your host, Scott Burton. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, we'll get to know UAS honorary degree recipients Marie Olson and Bruce Botello, plants, primroses, and primulas, take a virtual tour of Juno's Outdoor Living Museum, meet the cast members from The Arsonists, learn how you can help people with unfunded medical and health care needs, and plan your weekend with Arts Up, a summary of all the capital city's arts and entertainment opportunities. Those interviews, national native news, bird note, music, and more right here, live and local on a Juno afternoon. Currently 46 degrees and cloudy, a little cool here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Canada's Prime Minister is asking the country's Native leaders for more patience on the government's agenda on Indigenous rights. Justin Trudeau was speaking to a special gathering of Canada's largest Native group, the Assembly of First Nations. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
The Prime Minister and his Liberal government have faced growing criticism in recent months from First Nations groups and leaders across the country. Issues that sparked some anger include the slow progress on First Nations assuming jurisdiction over and responsibility for their own affairs, Trudeau's support for a pipeline expansion in Western Canada, changing the child welfare system, and slow progress in providing safe drinking water to many remote Native communities. Trudeau says he understands the frustrations many Native leaders feel, but a lot has been done over the past couple of years. He adds there's still much more to do, but it will take time.
If there are any people in this country that deserve to be cynical, it's Indigenous peoples who have seen generations of leaders come and go and say nice things and break promises. And that's why I am not as focused on making bright and shiny promises as I am on building the foundations of a lasting future in which we will truly be partners.
For his part, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, Perry Bellegarde, says there has been progress. The National Inquiry into Murdered and Missing Aboriginal Women and Girls, a lifting of the cap on First Nations spending, more money for Native education, and revising some laws and policies to bring them into line with the United Nations Declaration on Indigenous Rights. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Denver Post reports police questioned two prospective Native American college students who were on a tour at Colorado State University after a parent called police. The parent told police she was nervous about their presence on the school visit. Police reportedly questioned them and then allowed them to rejoin the group. But the men returned home to New Mexico after the group moved on without them. The college is said to be reviewing the incident. A Minnesota tribe is seeking to block the sale of a sacred item. The Lower Sioux Indian community wants to stop a pipe from the U.S. Dakota War from going on the auction block this weekend. Skinner Auctioneers list the item up for bid on Saturday. Minnesota Public Radio reports the tribe issued a statement this week which said discussions are underway to seek alternatives. The first female leader of the White Mountain Apache tribe is now in office. Tribal citizens welcomed Gwendina Lee Gatewood as their new chair during the inauguration Wednesday in White River, Arizona. Lee Gatewood previously spent 20 years working in tribal government, including as executive assistant of the chairman. After her election in April, Lee Gatewood expressed her pride in becoming the voice of her people and said she was ready to get to work.
That opportunity also comes with responsibilities, including transparency and accountability, and to work for the entire tribe.
Her priorities include economic development, environmental protection, and investing in young people. The tribe Wednesday also celebrated and thanked longtime chairman Ronnie Loopy, who leaves office after more than 50 years of service. The Hopi tribe and mining groups announced this week they filed a lawsuit in federal court to get a water district to continue to buy power from a generating station, which is slated to close in 2019. The tribe and group say the Central Arizona Project is compelled by federal law to purchase power from the Navajo generating station. The Hopi tribe is concerned a loss of revenue will devastate Hopi people. The Central Arizona Project said in a statement that board members started to look to replace energy after learning of the closing of the power plant, and as a public entity, it's responsible to deliver water at the lowest reasonable cost. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, gateway to tribal colleges created by and for American Indians, accredited and local, with certificate programs to master's degree programs. Info at aihec.org. Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country, and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour, and I have some very special people here in the studio today. We have Assistant Dean of Indigenous and Multicultural Education, Ronalda Cadiente Brown. Welcome to the show. Very nice to have you.
Thank you so much.
And we are going to be talking about UAS Honorary Degree recipients Bruce Botello, who's in the studio, Marie Olson, and Nancy DeCherney. Welcome, everyone. It's an honor to have you here.
Great to be here, Scott.
Thank you.
Ronalda, can you start us off and tell us a little bit about what a UAS honorary degree is?
Isn't that incredible to think about the incredible people that we have seated here today that have been selected to be especially recognized by the University of Alaska Southeast? We are scheduled to hold our 47th annual commencement this coming Sunday, and every year we have the opportunity to recognize special people. And this year we have Kayastan, Marie Olson, who will be receiving her honorary doctorate in humane letters. Mr. Bruce Botello will be receiving his honorary doctorate of laws, and Ms. Nancy DeCherney, the Meritorious Service Award. So very deserving people who are fixtures in our community and across the state, and we so appreciate the opportunity to hold them up today.
Indeed, and we look forward to hearing from all of you. Very quickly, Ronalda, can you tell us about, and I think all of us know, but what brought Kayastan Marie Olson onto your radar?
I can't think of a time when she's been off our radar, to be honest. I first met Marie through the Alaska Native Sisterhood. That was some 30 years ago, I'd say. And in her role at UAS, we recognize her for the many contributions within the University of Alaska system. So that's speaking of not only University of Alaska Southeast, but statewide. She serves as a tireless advocate and an inspiring champion of higher education for all students, and her special love for Alaska Native students and our rich Tlingit culture benefits us all within the university, our community, and our state.
All right. Goodness, geez. Bruce, what do you know about Marie Olson?
Well, I'm going to tell a secret that most people don't know, and that is that Marie and I are tango partners.
Whoa.
She's an outstanding dancer and manages to keep me on my feet. So that's the secret I have. Marie has clearly been an outspoken leader of reminding where all of us as a community where we live and tying us to the land, the people. And I think she's been a real moral authority for our community, and for that matter, the entire state.
How about you, Nancy?
Well, I kind of know her indirectly, and mostly encounter her at arts events. I've heard her speak. She has I appreciate her leadership and her comments always. I find her to be. I will tell you a little secret too. It's not a very funny one or whatever, but when my daughter was little, Marie Olson was a person that she immediately keyed into as a little girl and said she wanted to be like Marie when she grew up. And you have no way of knowing that, but she's 31 now. She's got a ways to go, but you impressed her even as a child. So it was wonderful.
All right. Marie Olson Kayistan, it's an honor to have you here. Among other things, I understand that you are an advocate of higher education of the University of Alaska Southeast. Would you tell us a little bit about that? What is it about higher education that you think is so important?
Your entire life depends on higher education. If you don't have it, sad to say, some of them are on the streets. And when you start talking with them, it's a sad story. They can't get a job, they can't hold a job. And that's where the local programs, like the Clinton Haida, they have job employment opportunities. And I'm very happy to say that there's a whole building right across the street there called the Andrew Hope Building that is a group of nativists with a remarkable young man that's the president. He's maybe 31, comes from the tiny village of Kazan. Maybe sometimes most of their population is 35. He was the first mayor when he was 19. So there's no school there, and a lot of his education was online or learned. He reads a lot, and sometimes he sounds like a dictionary. If you want to know what a word means, just ask President Richard Peterson. It's a lot of fun.
And you are a Tlingit culture bearer, leader, cultural leader. What are you most proud of in your career, if I may ask?
Well, I was born into it. I had no choice. There's two moieties, the raven moiety and the eagle moiety, and you'll find those two in almost every village. That just has to be the two of them. The history of the first contact wasn't very pleasant, or the third contact, or the fourth contact. Most of them were gold miners, and you never know where they came from. They certainly didn't offer too much because they had one thing on their mind, and that was gold. And fortunately, there's a lot of gold around here. And we may be sitting on some gold dust that comes from Mount Roberts there, because when it's a hard rock mining, they go inside the mountain and they start breaking up the rocks, and the sand that's with the
tailings
on it. Yes, that's from inside the mountain. My father used to go, my stepfather used to go over there and take us kids, and we'd be panning gold for him. That's how he bought his first car with gold. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
How many people can say that?
So if you're just joining us, we are talking about UAS honorary degree recipients, and we've been listening to Marie Olson Kayistan. Also in the studio, Bruce Patello, Ronalda Cadiente Brown, and Nancy DeCherney. And before the show, I was thinking, how are we going to get these marvelous people to talk about themselves? And I figured they probably wouldn't, so we're going to sort of talk about each other. Bruce, what do you like about Nancy?
What is there not to like? I've had a chance to work with Nancy fairly closely in a variety of settings, probably most importantly initially as mayor. She has just this incredible energy, her love for the arts. I would say that she has single-handedly turned the Juneau Arts and Culture. She made the Juneau Arts and Culture Center and what it is. She had a reluctant board, but a board that trusted her instincts and went along with it. The programming that she's been able to place there has transformed, I think, the Juneau arts scene. So it's this drive, this incredible energy. And she is a genuinely warm, caring person. So those are the things that stand out to me about Nancy. Passion.
And Nancy, what do you like about Bruce?
Well, we could blame Bruce for it all because he came into my office when I was in the basement when I first started for the Juneau Arts and Culture Center and suggested that we move into the old armory. And so it was really his vision, not mine. Bruce is an amazing person. He has an ability to put things together in ways that I can't figure out. Like, maybe it's because he dances. I don't know. Yes. But, yeah, he's an amazing leader and an amazingly generous person. So it's been great to work with him on. Also, though, the whale we just finished. I mean, my goodness gracious. There's all sorts of things.
Rinalda, can you tell us a little bit about what Sunday is going to look like and how the rest of the community can help honor these individuals?
Thank you for that question. It's just an amazing way of celebrating a lot of hard work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears by so many. We often think of the students and the labor that goes into achieving their goals, but they're also the family support networks and friendships that they have and make along the way that support and hold them up. The faculty, I'd say that we have some amazing visionary leaders as well that keep all the ends tied together. And so Sunday is truly an opportunity to celebrate. There'll be some special brunches. There'll be a reception following commencement. And I brought some numbers for you. So this coming Sunday, we will be recognizing 410 students who are achieving their associate's, bachelor's, or master of arts degrees.
That's amazing.
Isn't it wonderful? 128 certificate and professional licensures being issued, and 174 occupational endorsements. And I think that speaks to the point that Marie made about people securing options in their for their future. The event will begin at 2 o'clock at the Charles Gamble Jr. and Donald Sproul Joint Use Facility, and that's located at 12300 Mendenhall Loop Road. And we hope that many will join in on the events that are available online, so through Facebook Live at uas.alaska. or through uatv.alaska.edu. So it's a nice opportunity to watch people as the awards are issued. You'll be able to see the special attention that these three individuals will receive that day as part of commencement. So it's a lot of high-level energy and a lot of laughter and tears. So we hope you'll join in.
Just to jump in, Chancellor Caulfield has been urging us to make sure that we all park in the main parking lot at UAS because there'll be a regular shuttle service over to the center. So people don't have to worry about parking. They just need to get onto the campus and hitch a ride.
It has been such an honor having you all in the studio. Congratulations. Thank you so much for all you do for the community and the state. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Are any last thoughts, anything we're forgetting to talk about?
I think it's the community that should be thanked, actually. So many people in this community are so generous. All of the people that are listening are supporters of K2 and all that. I think that's what makes our community. I'm honored to be here with these two. And with Rinalda.
We can give an honorary degree to the community of
Juneau.
Yes,
they should receive many kudos. Yes.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
yandayan wasayati wasayati we kushitlakha we kushitlakha agwa ge achsik awe hu awe hu awe adu sik awe ya yinach yan de yan wasayati wasayati we kushitlakha we kushitlakha agwa ge achsik awe ho awe, adu sik sawe, yayi nach yan de yan, wasayati, wasayati, we kushit lakha, we kushit lakha, agwa ge ach sik awe.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. Scott Burton, your host today. It's about 23 minutes past the top of the hour. My next guest is Merrill Jensen. He is the horticulturalist, lead horticulturalist out at the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. Welcome to the show, Merrill.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here. So I think most of our listeners know about the Arboretum, but for those few that don't, where is it and what is it?
The Jensen Olsen Arboretum is located out the road. We're just past mile 23, so go out, go past the shrine, and yeah, we're on the ocean side of the road, and it's a garden gem for the city of Juneau. Our founder and benefactor, Caroline Jensen, she wanted to preserve her amazing property, and she bequeathed it to the city of Juneau, and we've been having fun making it just a great spot the last 11 years.
Okay, so what mile is that at again?
23.
We get out there to 23 mile. We take a left.
Take a left. We've got a sign, and we just had our parking lot, brand new parking lot, paved today, so we have a real parking lot where 20 people will be able to park now instead of trying to shoehorn five or six cars in down by the garage like we used to.
Okay, so we park right there and we walk down. Take us on a quick virtual tour.
The virtual tour is the parking lot is just paved, and we're constructing a trail with the assistance of Trail Mix. That's going to happen in 2 weeks, and we'll have a new access trail that wanders down through the woods, and you pop out at our information kiosk, and we'll have a cedar archway that you can walk into the gardens through, and then you can just wander to your heart's content and enjoy the changing seasons and watching the floral display come and go.
Should we head down there now or wait for a couple weeks?
Since spring is painfully late this year, there's not a lot of color right now. So, it's probably 2-3 weeks off before peak color hits. So, yeah, come middle of May. But, yeah, there's still some early stuff that's coming up, and it's just fun to watch the seasons advance and change.
All right, and you have a few events going on too, right?
Yes, we've got the American Primrose Society's national show and conference this weekend. The plant show will be open to the general public, and it'll be in the lobby at Centennial Hall. But the lecture series, it's sold out, so there's no space available for that. We've got our keynote speaker who's coming in from Calgary. She's world-renowned primrose expert, and it'll be a lot of fun to listen to her. But, yeah, tickets are all sold out.
Okay. Anything else going on?
American Public Gardens Day is coming up the last Saturday in May. It's the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, and it's just a salute to public gardens and what they bring to the citizens of Alaska. And it's just a good thing to come out and wander around, check things out. We've got 3 children's programs this summer. We've got information on the kiosk about those, and our demographic is changing out there. We've got a lot of 30-somethings with kids coming through, so we're addressing that. And, yeah, the big event for the kids this year is going to be Bug Day, and that's going to be in August. And we've got Liz Graham, who's the Forest Service entomologist, coming out, and she's going to share all her knowledge about bugs.
Okay. What are you starting to see out at the Arboretum? What's coming up right now?
Right now, we've got the first go-round of daffodils. We've got a real nice swath of bright yellow. It's called Tweety Bird. And that, as the sun comes around and gets into other parts of the Arboretum, that swath of yellow just kind of follows the sun pattern. The early primrose denticulata are up, but not like they should be this time of year. It should be just a sea of color, but it's spots of color now.
What was that thing you spoke of, the sun? What?
The sun, yeah, that thing that has made a vague appearance here recently. Kind of tried yesterday, sort of.
So we can meet you at Centennial Hall starting tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Friday? It's the show is the plant show will be Saturday morning, Saturday from 10:30 to 5, and then Sunday 10 to 2.
At Centennial Hall.
In Centennial Hall, yeah. That's where you can come see potted plants. Those will be judged, and also the Arboretum is going to have an educational display on Primula also.
Is there an entrance fee for that?
For that, no. It's just right there in the Centennial Hall lobby. So, yeah, free to the public. So come check out some really beautiful plants.
This Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
People want more information. Where can they go?
They can call the Arboretum line at 789-0139 and catch me in the office. You can also check the Parks and Recreation page and look under the Arboretum, or go to the Arboretum Facebook page, Jensen Olson Arboretum. And this time of year, I try to get a picture, one or two up a week, just as things change, so people can kind of track us.
All right, that's Merrill Jensen. Find him at all those places he just outlined, or at Centennial Hall on Saturday, Sunday, or out at the Arboretum. Merrill, thanks for coming on the show. Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, just hope you can make it out sometime during the season and pick that next sunny afternoon, put it on the calendar, and come out and enjoy the view.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
With the morning sunrise, move so fast, baby, right before you close eyes. So you better run, move fast, like the bullet from the gun. Over the hill, salvation, rest in the sun. Eternity, baby, rest in the sun. So won't you come? So won't you come, baby? So won't you come?
come, baby. Making plans for tomorrow. Even though you don't know your fate. Blind eyes, leaning on a hold that face. Sink your feet into a concrete foundation. So you better run, move fast like the bullet from the gun. Over the hill, salvation rests in the sun. Eternity, baby, rest in the sun. So won't you come? So won't you come, baby? So won't you come? So won't you come? I want to tell you about the good news. I want to tell you about the good news. I want to tell you about the good news. I want to tell you. Better run, move fast like the bullet from the gun. Over the hill, salvation rests in the sun. Eternity, baby, rest in the sun. So won't you come? So won't you come, baby? So won't you come? So won't you come, baby?
Support comes from Northland Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and to prescribe solutions. Northland Audiology and Hearing Services, located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
May means Juno Jazz and Classics, kicking off Friday, May 4th with Andrew Jr. Boy Jones Band. This is the real blues, Austin, Texas style. Known for a jazzy sound as versatile as it is unpredictable. Dance with the Andrew Jr. Boy Jones Band May 4th, 7:30 at Centennial Hall. Or catch them on the one and only Blues Cruise Saturday, May 5th, sailing from Off Bay at 7 p.m. Tickets are at Hearthside, The Jack, and jazzandclassics.org.
Train on the island, hear that whistle blow. Go and tell my own true love, I'm sick and I can't go. Train on the island, listen to her squeal. Go and tell my own true love how happy I do feel. I went out o'er the mountain to hear that banjo ring. I went o'er the other side just to hear my darling. Train on the island, we're headed for the east. Me and my love, we're done split up and I'm missing him in the least I'm missing him in the least. Make me a banjo out of a gourd and string it up with twine. The only tune that it would play is I wish that man were mine, I wish that man were mine. Still I miss my darling, he left me all alone. This old house is empty, silent as a stone, stone as silent as a stone.
How about that?
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Allison Holdkamp, Aaron Aylmore, in to talk about The Arsonists opening tomorrow over on Douglas Island.
That's
at
right.
Perseverance Theater. Welcome you two.
Thank you.
Beautiful song.
Thank you very much. It's roots music we included in this play at the behest of the author, Jacqueline Goldfinger, who wrote The Arsonists. Included a lot of roots music because her father was an old-time banjo player. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
From Florida, and it's a big part of her life, and it's a big part of the lives of these two characters. It's part of how they talk to each other and work things out.
Yeah.
Is it a? Would you consider it a musical?
I think it's more of a play with music, and the characters themselves, just like Aaron said, work out a lot of things through music. So it just so happens that they deal with difficult situations through music, communicate through music, calm themselves down through music. So I think it's sort of a tool in their own lives, just kind of like how we use music in our lives.
Yeah.
Can you give us a basic plot for the play?
Well, The Arsonist is a charming family drama about people who burn things down to defraud companies of their insurance money. And it's probably fair to say, without too many spoilers, that just as the play begins, something has gone very badly wrong. And matters sort of go on from there. It's really about fathers and daughters in a lot of ways. And I'll let you guess who plays which.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I know. But it's in families and how we come together and how we come apart.
Yeah, and just as we were rehearsing, and Scott, it's really fun that your parents are here in the studio right now, because it was also an exploration of, like, growing up and moving beyond and becoming our own people without, like, and within our relationships with our parents and what that looks like and how relationships grow between parents and children.
What's been your favorite part about the playwriting in this?
It's so poetic. What do you think, Aaron?
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful story. There are two people who burn things down. They're sort of awful people, but you love how they are together, and that's really one of its great virtues. And the other thing that I've come to love about it is where it started and where it just started this show. It's the music. It really kind of, it's this thread that we've been able to hang on to through the whole thing. When we started rehearsals back shortly after Thanksgiving, so it's been a long process for us. We've already been on a run in Anchorage for 2 weeks up there, and we had a good time working up there in the cold of winter, and now we come out after a preview and there's still light in the sky, so it's one of those experiences too.
So I did my Wikipedia research, you two. Is this the one that's also called The Fire Raisers that
This is different. This is a totally new one. And it's interesting because I know what you're talking about. There's a play, The Firebugs, that was recently changed its name to The Arsonists. It's getting a lot of great publicity. It's not that play.
Right.
This is the world premiere of a brand new play written by Jacqueline Goldfinger.
Okay.
And just to tag on something that Aaron was saying about the music, my experience in performing in musicals are always my favorite because I feel like the ensemble is so strong because we have to come together and make music together. And that's something that I feel so lucky in this play. Even though the ensemble is tiny, it's just two people. But every day before rehearsal and before every performance, we go through all of our songs and come together and sing and basically just become one in the play.
And part of the group formation.
Tell us great. The song that you just opened with. Tell us about how that fits into the whole.
You know, it's called Train on the Island, which is such a standard among people who know these things that, it, like lots of pieces of poetical language, it doesn't even get what that means doesn't get maybe unpacked very often. It certainly didn't to me when I first heard it. And a lot of times it's actually played at lightning speed, as much of this music does. We're trying to get the words out in this. And the concept to me of a train stuck on an island, a vehicle that's designed to make connections with great places and uncover vast distances at speed, and to be isolated on an island somehow speaks enormously to the way these people are with each other. They're stuck in their own little worlds, as we all are to some extent, and all trying to get off that island to make those connections. And it's obviously also a song about lost love, which is certainly a big part of this play is about that as well. So it's, every single one of the songs in this, whether it's Nearer My God to Thee,
Wayfaring strangers.
No, they all have something to say specifically about the piece. They all speak to the action in that moment. They all speak to the characters' lives, but they also stand in the in a long tradition, and it's been an enormous treat for us to be able to sort of jump into that stream, if only up to our ankles in some ways.
Can you give us the details on times and location, please, Allison?
Yes. It's at 7:30, starting tomorrow night. We do have a preview tonight.
Yes.
So, which is probably pay as you can. So if you feel like doing something tonight, stop by. It opens this weekend, so Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and then Sunday at 4, and then next week, Thursday through Sunday, and the week after that, our closing weekend, Wednesday through Sunday, and you can find tickets at perseverancetheater.org, Hearthside Books, The Jack, I think the usual ticket suspects in town. Mm-hmm. And also something that I didn't know that I think is really cool, I found out recently that Perseverance has $15 rush tickets. So if you feel something at the last minute, a half hour before every show, you can just pay $15. Like, say maybe you were planning on doing something in the sun and it ended up raining, you can come to Perseverance Theater.
That's Allison Holtkamp, Aaron Elmore, also in the studio. See them in The Arsonists opening tomorrow at Perseverance Theater over on Douglas. I wish we had more time, you two. I could talk about this all day. It's great having you here. Have a great time with the production. And come back and let us know how it's going.
Thank you.
Great. Thank
Thanks
you.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. But the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
KTOO Public Media with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council invite you to the final art classes of the season, May 10th, starting at 5:30 p.m. at the Hangar Ballroom. Patty Jopy will lead an evening of watercolor exploration, during which participants will create local scenes, including sunsets across the canals, on specially designed watercolor greeting cards. All supplies included, no host bar, and food available for purchase. Tickets at jahc.org.
We're excited to announce that NPR correspondent and host Melissa Block will be doing a special event with KTOO. Join us May 9th at 7 p.m. at the Jack to hear stories from her reporting travels around the world that reveal intimate insights into people's lives. Melissa will share a behind-the-scenes look at the craft and joy of radio storytelling. Only 300 tickets are available. Purchase yours at ktoo.org. This event with Melissa Block is made possible with support from LifeMed and Bartlett Regional Hospital.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, May 3rd, 2018. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 15 minutes until the top of the hour. Joining me in the studio now is Kristen McTagg. She is the executive director of the Healing Hand Foundation and also George Reifenstein, a board member on the foundation. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
It's nice to have you here. Kristen, Healing Hand Foundation, what is it?
So Healing Hand Foundation is the nonprofit arm of Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. We began in 2001, and our mission has always been to fill the gap for search beneficiaries and for veterans. Most recently, we added. So what that means is the Indian Health Service provides some funds so that folks can go to search and get their health care. But when there's a gap, and if somebody has a hard time getting the durable medical items that they need, they can apply to Healing Hand Foundation to get some assistance with that item.
George, what might be an example of one of those items?
Oh, it might be eyeglasses or hearing aids or maybe getting some dental work done that's beyond the norm. And or it could be durable medical goods such as wheelchair, walkers, things like that.
Kristen, how did these individuals come to your attention, individuals in need?
Most of them are referred to Healing Hand just through their clinician at search. Sometimes they, you know, they're meeting with the doctor and they say, well, it's time for your eyeglasses. And they say, oh, that's kind of expensive. I don't know if my insurance will cover all of that. And they say, well, Healing Hand Foundation has an application and it's available online.
Okay. And so you are a nonprofit, as you mentioned, of search.
Mm-hmm.
And buying eyeglasses and wheelchairs is not cheap.
No, it's not. And we help with a portion of it. The individual who's vetted through the through search for getting the assistance then puts in about 20%, and then our grants will cover the rest up to a certain amount. And other things are, for example, would be when there's some cosmetic surgery for or dental work that needs to be done, and it's not, you know, these aren't frivolous things. It may be, it's hard to go for a job interview if you don't have your two front teeth, you know, or a palate problem or whatever, and we help with those kinds of things too, trying to make a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely. I understand you have an event coming up. Is it on Mother's Day, Kristen?
It is. We're having a Mother's Day brunch at the Timberline Restaurant, which is atop Mount Roberts.
Yeah. And what time is that getting started?
It starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday, the 13th of May, which is Mother's Day. Everybody, be sure you don't forget that. And it will go till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Chef Randy is back, and Ron, who takes care of special events and manages the restaurant up there, is they're getting ready for this. They've got a beautiful menu, and it's got those who were up there last year really appreciated it and saw just they put out a great spread. No matter what time you get there, line will have a lot of good things on it.
A Gold Belt is being very generous, and they're really doing the lion's share of the work to put this event on. So we really appreciate Healing Hand Foundation and our board members really appreciate Gold Belt. I should say about the time frames, we have two seatings. The first one is at 10 a.m., and you can call the Mount Roberts Timberline Restaurant at 463-1338. To get your reservation. The second seating is at 12:15, and we're just doing that so we can keep the traffic flowing.
Okay, and that is the first place to call is the tramway to get your reservation there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I imagine all the proceeds from this brunch benefit Healing Hand Foundation.
That's right. Right.
And if somebody does have, you know, another time within there that when they get it, you know, say they get out of church or they finish some family function, they're going to get down there, call and see, and they may be able to accommodate that time.
Okay. And what is the cost?
$50 for adults, and that includes the tram ride and the brunch. It's all you can eat brunch. And the children, 12 and under, are 40. And they've got, you know, there's just an incredible menu. There's a lot of things there. Plus, there are going to be drawings for door prizes. We got some great door prizes.
Okay. This is the Healing Hand Mother's Day brunch, right?
Yeah.
Sunday,
yeah.
May 13th?
Uh-huh. Yep.
From 10 to 2 up at the Mount Roberts Tramway.
That's it.
Call 463-1338 for reservations either at 10 or 12:15.
That's right.
Okay, and all proceeds help individuals in need get eyeglasses, wheelchairs, and more. Kristen McTagg and George Reifenstein, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Is there anything else you'd like to add? People want more information on Healing Hand Foundation. Where's the best place to go, Kristen?
They can call my office at 364-4402, or you can log on the website at hhf-ak.org.
All right. Is there anything we're missing? Anything either of you'd like to add?
Well, just a couple of the door prizes include two round-trip flights wherever Alaska Seaplanes flies domestically. And then there are going to be a couple of two prizes of 40,000 Alaska Airline miles. That's from Search. And so we want to thank Alaska Seaplanes and Search. And then No Attack Post, who was the winner of Juno 2017's Juno's Got Talent, will be playing special music up there for the moms and families.
Well, great way to spend Mother's Day. Thank you so much for coming on the show, you two.
Thanks for having
Scott.
Us.
Appreciate it.
This is Bird Note. It's been said that if someone knows only three birds, one of them will be the crow. It's common, easy to see, and even easier to hear. But it turns out crow voices are very complicated. Altogether, crows may use 30 different sound elements in different combinations, and one of the most intriguing is their song. Unlike many birds, crows don't sing loudly to attract mates from a distance. Instead, they sing softly and at close range during courtship, with a rich mix of soft cooing, rattles, growls, bowing movements, and mutual nuzzling. And a crow's song is particular to its social group. Studies of captive groups show that each group develops distinctive sound elements that become a kind of cultural tradition, a dialect which crows use to recognize one another. So even if someone knows only three birds, as long as one of them is the crow, there'll always be something new to learn. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Support for Bird Note comes from Audubon Park Wild Bird Food, welcoming the return of songbirds with full feeders. Spring bird feeding tips at audubonpark.com.
Hi, my name is Phil Paramore. I host Soundings on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. on KRNN. I appreciate KRNN radio because it's fun, it's fresh, it's entertaining, and it's informative. Tune in to KRNN 102.7 FM. Thanks.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, and you know that it's time for Arts Up. But today, rather than Nancy DeCherney, we have Marketing and Outreach Coordinator for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, Mr. Ben Brown himself. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. I'm very happy to be here. And I know Nancy was on earlier. Very proud to hear about her and her meritorious Community Service Award. But that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of arts up. There's still arts information we have to get out to the community.
We do. We do. And so great to have you here. What should we do tonight?
Well, tonight there is a lot of fun stuff going on. There's a KTO Board of Directors meeting. If you want to start right here close to home. There's also a pub theology class, and you can call Matt at thebeardedpastor@gmail.com for the location. I don't know a lot about pub theology, but it sounds interesting and fun. But this weekend, of course, Jazz and Classics starts, so that's going to be a good time. Madcap fun all over town for the next 2 weeks. Tomorrow night, the launch concert is at Centennial Hall. It's the Andrew Junior Boy Jones Blues Dance. I just saw them over in Reggie's office over at the Jack. They are jazzed to be here, pardon the pun, and I know there's still tickets left for that show, so that's going to be a lot of fun for folks.
And they're going to be on Juno Afternoon tomorrow, our first guest with Andy Klein.
Excellent. So tune in for that and then come to the show tomorrow night. Tomorrow night also, I think you just had Allison Holtkamp and Aaron Elmore here. The Arsonist opens over at Perseverance Theater. That's a great show that already had its run in Anchorage, so they are raring them. They're on fire, again, pardon the pun, but I think that's going to be a great show as well. So Jazz and Classics, I cannot go through the entire rundown of what's going on. It starts tomorrow. It runs through, goodness, the 19th of May, and then it culminates in Community Day on Campus, which is an event that we've done for 14 years now with the Arts Council. And it's going to be beautiful weather, I'm told, and there's going to be a free concert. But go to jazzandclassics.org because there's so much going on.
And right now for our listeners, I'm playing Sarah Santambrosio, who's playing, I know, on Saturday a couple places. Great classical music, so that's some of her music there.
Yes, there's still tickets left to a lot of the events, uncharacteristically. In years past, things like the cruises and strings at the Shrine would be completely sold out. That's not necessarily the case. So go to jahc.org, and there still may be tickets to some things if you've been kind of negligent about getting that done.
All right, so lots of Juno Jazz and Classics.
Yes, of course, the community calendar that we co-sponsor with you, our friends here at KTOO, is the best place to go for this information, ktoo.org or jahc.org. There are two workshop opportunities, Scott, that I really wanted to mention that are coming up. The first is next Wednesday, and Shelley Delaney was able to interview Aaron Landsman from New York from Creative Capital the other day. That is a really great opportunity for artists seeking to enhance their professional skills, a better resume, a better portfolio, a better online application, a better interview if there's an interview opportunity, better charrettes, but anything that makes it possible to put forth a better case for why I as an artist deserve the grant, I deserve the contract, I deserve the teaching gig, or the gig just as a gig, a performance gig, because all those things are really important, as you know, for artists to be able to make their way in the world.
Sustainable arts.
Exactly. And so that's next Wednesday night at the Prospector. The tuition's $200, but our friends at the Rasmussen Foundation have generously offered stipends for the first 20 registrants, reducing the fee to $50. And I actually just had a call from an artist. You don't have to pay $200 and wait to get the $150 back like with the IRS. As long as you fill out the application appropriately and we have a good reason to believe that you will do a follow-up report explaining what you learned, we will only bill you the $50 at the time of registration next Wednesday night.
Very cool. So Wednesday at TK McGuire's?
Yeah, in the Douglas Room over at the Prospector. So yes, in the restaurant over there at the Prospector Hotel. The other workshop opportunity I really wanted to mention is one that kind of fell into our lap because Risha Wilson has a lot of friends in South Africa, and there's a South African artist named Sue Kaplan who's really wonderful and delightful. I just got to meet her about 2 weeks ago. She's here visiting, and she is a very renowned artist who's worked all over the world, but a lot in South Africa. She's going to be teaching in a workshop called Make Your Mark. It's on Mother's Day. It's a day-long workshop from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Pier 49, which is a relatively new restaurant space down in South Franklin Street. That tuition is $135, but it does include lunch and all the materials, and it really sounds intriguing. You've been kind enough to have Sue come be on the air next Friday so people can learn more, but if people have questions, they can call 586-2787 and learn more about that, but we really want to encourage artists in town to take advantage of this South African artist who'll be visiting here us here in Juno.
Lots of opportunities for artists thanks to the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. We sure appreciate it. We have 45 seconds. Anything going on Friday night, Saturday night?
Well, I mean, goodness. There's a Taku Wens concert on Saturday night. It's the music of Mexico to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. There's a Mother's Day card-making activity going on Saturday. It's a little last minute for Mother's Day, but if you haven't bought a card yet, that's between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. with Jen Heumann. That's at the Canvas. Perseverance auditions are this weekend. So just so much going on. Go to the community calendar and look there.
Thank you so much, Ben Brown. Or you can call them at 586-ARTS to talk to them in person, figure out what's going on. We appreciate it. That's Arts Up. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much, Ben.
Thanks, Scott.
And thank you all for tuning in to the Juno Afternoon. Here's Andrew Jr., Boy Jones.